Here's another message from Life Christian Church.
Painting your promise into a masterpiece. Painting your promise into a masterpiece. We all have promises and we all have things that we're believing for in our life. Maybe you've received a prophecy or God's put something in your heart. Maybe, you know, there's something that you believe God is calling you to and there's an excitement and a passion about it. But as life goes on, those promises, sometimes they don't actually eventuate. Do you know that a prophecy is simply a prophecy, and if we don't put any action to those things, they just simply fade away. It's kind of like a good idea. God has a good idea for our life, and it's what He wants for us, but we have an active part to play in the receiving of God's promise. I think a lot of times we get a prophecy and then we just sit back and do nothing, waiting for it to take place. Not in this church I'm in now, but in my previous church, there were a number of people that received a prophetic word that they were going to preach God's word. So they approached the senior pastor and said, I got a prophecy on Friday night that I was going to preach. When can I have a Sunday morning? The pastor proceeded to say, well, why don't you actively join a life group and just get involved? Well, but I'm not called to that. I'm called to the bigger thing and to the wider thing. Friend, there are steps and processes that God wants to take us through to make our promise turn into a reality, to make our promise become a masterpiece. Let me start by making a simple statement. That you are where you are, and you are where you are as a result of the words that others have spoken over you, and as a result of what you have spoken over you. You are who you are, and you are where you are as a result of words that others and words that you have spoken over you. And while we don't pick our family, most of us probably wouldn't pick our family if we had the choice, but anyway, there are errors and faults. All of us have a past. Some of those things we're not very proud of, but what we choose to do with those things and the things we choose to speak over us are really up to us. I've learned that the greatest danger of the spoken word isn't what other people speak over me. It's what I speak over me. And so we can sit here and blame that my mum and dad didn't love me the way that they should, and I grew up in this family and my parents were alcoholics and this and that. And there's some legitimacy to that. But the reality is, I think the greatest danger to you fulfilling God's very best for you is you. It's not Satan. It's you. It's the things you think about yourself, and it's the words that you speak over yourself. Have you ever said these kinds of things? Oh, that just makes me sick. I could never do that. I'll never be able to pay my bills. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'll never get married. I love that one. I'll never get married. And so you walk around grumpy and no one wants to talk to you. Friend, you're right. You're never going to get married acting like that. Nothing good ever happens to me. God will never use me. I'm never going to be free from this addiction. I'm never going to be free from this habit. And so what we start to do is we start to speak these things over us. Now listen, we all know you can take that a bit far, right? But there is some truth in this, that the tongue has immense power. You know, Pentecostal circles, we're afraid to actually tell the truth. Someone says, are you sick? What do we say? No. I mean, you could have malaria, mad cow disease, bleeding out. No, I'm not sick. No, that's called a lie. You are sick. But the truth is that we serve a great God who's more than able to heal. There's a difference between the facts and the truth. The fact is you're sick, but the truth is our God is a healer. It has to do with your confession over your life. James chapter 3 verse 5 talks about this. Let's have a look at this on the screen. I think I have this. James chapter 3 verse 5 says, likewise, the tongue is the smallest part of the body, but it makes the greatest boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil. among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it also sets on fire by hell. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Isn't it interesting that the manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the tongue and not another part? I just think that's interesting. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. Amen. We're in church declaring God's praise. That's awesome. And then we drive outside and someone cuts us off and just comes out. And whoa. That same tongue that we were declaring his praise, once we leave Sunday Christian at church, we go out and this tongue is doing something else. Out of the same mouth comes praising and also cursing. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. Author Maria Vadia says this, our faith and speech really has to mature. The temptation when things don't go our way, what is common to our flesh is to grumble, it's to complain, it's to accuse, it's to point the finger, or to become negative. Don't fall into this deadly trap. Use the tongue in this way and you'll attract the serpents and scorpions of life, which will bring nothing but discouragement, despair, fear, and anxiety. I'm not sure what you think of when you think of the word prophecy. Most of us think of someone who stands up the front of church and starts to prophesy or declare God's word. And that's very real. But I want to propose today that there's another kind of prophecy that you can do. Where you get hold of God's promise, you get hold of God's word, and you start to declare that over you. You know, when I found out my wife was pregnant, which I was rapt about, I started from that point till now praying for my boy's future spouse. I don't want them to end up with some dodgy bird. I want them to end up with an awesome woman of God. They're my kids. I know that's not pastoral, but I'm not a good pastor. I'm a great father. I want them to end up with God's very best for their life. So I speak greatness over them. I'm one of those parents that sneaks in when my kids are asleep. Lay hands on them. God, I just speak greatness over them. God, my kids aren't going to walk away from you, get scarred and have to come back 5 years later. God, they're going to walk strong in you. God, I declare greatness over their life. Every Sunday in our church, I pray the same prayer I have for the last 8 years. Father, I speak life, I speak increase, and I speak favor over this church. Three of the things that we've got on our church, life, increase, and favor. So I want to encourage you today to learn to speak the word of God and the promises of God over your life, especially husbands and fathers. I believe that's one of the mandates on our life as men in God's house, to declare God's word over our house. The reason we need to do this is because we're made in God's image and God created through the spoken word. And because I'm created in God's image, God wants us to declare things and create things through our spoken word as well. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his image, and in the image of God, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I'll give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit will seed in it, and they will be yours for food. Genesis 5:1, God created mankind and he made them in the likeness of God. You know, God spoke not only the world into being, but he spoke you and I into being. And what words did God speak over us? I want us to look at this today. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. I don't have them on the screen. But the first word he spoke was to be fruitful, to increase in number. And I'm not just talking about children, but when you live your life, live your life to be fruitful. The Webster's Dictionary says to be abundantly productive. What a great definition of fruitful. To be abundantly productive, that our lives would bring glory and honor to God, that there would be fruit. Listen, when you go into business, don't go into business to fail. Go into business to be abundantly productive. Make a truckload of cash. Why not? And be a great blessing, not just to your own family, but to the kingdom of God. Be abundantly productive. Fruitful living is part of God's original plan for us. Now, I know we can take that too far, the whole crazy prosperity doctrine, but there is some truth in that, that God wants us to be productive. The second thing he says is to multiply. Multiplication is an awesome thing. Healthy couples multiply if that's what they choose to do. And our spoken word over our lives must include the multiplication of the goodness of God and the grace of God, but also the extension of God's kingdom. I don't know if you realize that what took place here today is a part of God's multiplication over your church. That the leadership of the church isn't just resting on an individual or a couple, but the leadership of the church is resting on a team. And God operates in the body. The brain isn't more important than the knee. It operates in together and in connection. And what took place today is just a wonderful example of how God works, utilizing the pulse of the house in all of its uniqueness. You know, I guess for some of us, we've come from interesting backgrounds. Like I shared over the weekend, I got a great family. Some of you here have come from horrific situations. But I want to encourage you, just because you've come from that kind of past doesn't mean that for your generation and the generations to come, that your family is going to be bound by that. Why not start a new generation of blessing? Why not start a new start that even though the last six generations of my family have been alcoholics, it stops with me and it stops with my children. Come on, you've got to break the thing off your life and start to declare God's word over it. It's interesting. I got a phrase I use in leadership all the time. It's called monkey see, monkey do. It's interesting. The very things that I didn't like about my father, I started to see myself doing. And my own kids, I thought, that's got to stop. Even the words I said to my kids, I went, hang on a second, I've heard that before. Being male, it took me a little while to figure it out. And I went, okay, that's right. My dad said that to me. You know, in the Bible, there's two examples. And for the sake of time, I won't go in and read it. But there's two examples of people who came from horrific backgrounds. The first one is Mephibosheth. Everyone say Mephibosheth? It sounds like a swear, but it's not Mephibosheth. He was in 2 Samuel 9. He was, I know some of you have had this said of you, but he was actually dropped as a baby. And he was dropped as a baby. He became a cripple. And his name literally means, out of my mouth comes pain and regret. Now, if I said to you, list your top five names, families that are expecting a new child, Mephibosheth shouldn't rate. Maybe in the top 50, definitely not in the top 10. Imagine every morning, come on, darling, out of my mouth comes pain and regret, was spoken over. Again, I grew up in Africa. I shared that a couple of times. And in Africa, they name children differently. In Australia, we just pick names that we like. But in Africa, you pick names based around things that happen at your birth. I promise you this is true. You're just going to have to trust me, but this is not evangelistic for the sake of sermons. This is, I had friends with these names. We had high temperature. And mum was a bit crook when she gave birth. And we had the days of the week. I had Monday to Friday. I didn't have a Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. And my favorite friend, his name was Cementy Block. Mum didn't quite make it inside the hospital. She made it to the porch. Cementy Block. That's a true story. It's not Mephibosheth, but it's not far off. And Mephibosheth lived in a town called Lodabar. Lodabar means the place of the reject. The place of the reject. Here is, out of my mouth comes pain and regret, and I live in the place of rejects. And the king one day says to the leader of the army called Ziba, which literally means the army of God, says, is there anyone out there that I can show favor to? And he says, well, there's this cripple. And the king says, bring them to my table that I can bring favor and blessing upon their life. Do you know, as this cripple sat at the king's table, he was no different than anyone else there. And he partook of the king's wealth. Just because your family and your background, you may have lived in a place like Lodabar, and there may have been an aspect of crippleness in your family, not physically, but just in the way that it operated, doesn't mean that your life is going to be barren and crippled forever. God's got a new day for your family. Amen? The second person is obviously Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4:9. Have we got this on the screen? No, we don't. 1 Chronicles 4:9. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, meaning, I gave birth to him in pain. Oh, thanks, Mum. That's great to know. I gave birth to him in pain. I've been present at 3 births. My twins, my oldest son, and mine. I don't have great memories of that, and people are thankful for that. Yes. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Remember, this is, I gave birth to him in pain. And he cries out, oh, that you would bless me, God. And that you would enlarge my territory. And let your hand be with me. And keep me from pain. And keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And the Bible says, and God granted his request. You know, the story of Jabez is surrounded by chapters and chapters. 9 chapters of different names and different things going on. And if you're not careful, you can skip over him. Generation after generation of just nameless people, names, but know nothing about them. But there was something about Jabez that caught the heart of God. And it was, even though people have said these things about me, and even though I come from this situation, God, the heart of man cried out to God and decided that no longer am I going to be bound by what's taken place in my family, but I'm going to walk out free. I'm going to walk blessed. I'm going to set a new generation for my family. And God answered his request. These 4 statements, or these 4 prayers that he prayed, are phenomenal. I want to do something a little bit different today. I want to give you some homework. And who loves homework? No one. Awesome. I want you to write these down. And I want to just challenge you to do this for 1 week. I want you to write down these challenges, and I want you to pray them over your life and over your family for the next 7 days. Our church has been doing this whole year. And God's blessing, and God, the miraculous power of God is starting to move. Things are shifting in families. And it's not that this is some magical formula. It's just that it captures the heart of God. The first one here is, I want you to pray this prayer. God is my source of blessing. God is my source of blessing. Jabez cried out to God, oh, that you would bless me. Have that as a declaration. God, I thank you that you're my source of blessing. Now, those of us who are here, you might say, well, listen, I work in a secular job. My salary doesn't come from God. I get the same pay every week. Hey, friend, I don't know if you read the news or not, but you can be wealthy one day and it all be gone the next. Even though you're paid in a salary, that blessing comes from the very hand of God himself. And have that as a prayer. Oh, that you would bless me. You know, I have a salary, but I've got other things that take place. And God's blessing me as I start to declare and believe for greater blessing, not just in my family, but on blessing for my kids. I want to be a greater blessing to church. Who wants to be a greater blessing financially in church? Isn't it awesome to give? Wouldn't it be great to give twice that? Oh, man. Just lost it then, Pete. Anyway. How about this? Number 2, I pray that God would enlarge me. I'm not talking about getting bigger physically, but that God would enlarge my territory. God, that you would enlarge me. A greater capacity. You know, some of us here, we have no room in our heart for other people. You struggle to connect with people. There is a world out here, 50 meters from this place right now, there are people that are dying without Jesus. God, would you enlarge my heart for people? Those of us who are in business, God, would you enlarge my business? Would you give me a strategic idea to unlock greater wealth or greater opportunity that I can declare your goodness? That you would enlarge me. Number 3, God, your hand is on me. Pray that prayer. Remember years ago, I knew God had called me to preach, but I was battling with fear. I had this real phobia of speaking in front of people. I know it probably doesn't look like I had that, but I did. And I was petrified of preaching, and that's a challenge when you're a preacher. It's kind of like being an Olympic swimmer, but being allergic to water. It's a challenge. And I remember saying, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to preach it on Sunday. And oh, my goodness. And I remember clear as a bell, God would just show me this vision of me standing preaching and this person in bright light just standing with me with their arm around me. And it completely set me free. Realizing, God, your hand's on my life. So whether I'm a businessman, whether I'm a father, whether I'm a mother, whatever it is, God, your hand's on me. And because your hand's on me, I can do this. You know that you and Jesus are the majority no matter the situation you face. So if you're in a school right now, young people, if you're part of a state school or a Christian school, you and Jesus is the majority. God's hand is on your life and he will bring you through. Number four, God will protect me and keep me from harm. I don't know if you grew up with parents that you know, prayed Traveling Mercies prayers. Remember those? It's interesting that sometimes you used to trivialize that and think, oh, that's just silly. But it's not. It's not. Recently, I was driving from Bribie Island to my home and I fell asleep at the wheel. That's okay if you're driving 2 kilometers an hour, but it's not okay when you're driving 110. And luckily, my son, for whatever reason, turned and looked at me, and he never does, you know. I don't know why. And he woke me up, saved my family. I would have killed my whole family. I was horrified. The blessing of God that's on my life. God has miraculously, I could give you story after story after story of God's protection on my life. 9 times I had malaria to the point that one time I had cerebral malaria, which the death rate is ridiculously high. We drove once between 2 refugee camps in Sudan. We set out. I was sitting on the back of a four-wheel drive, and I was sitting on a drum of petrol, and we're driving down this town. We got 80 kilometers toward this town, and the mud and rain was so heavy, we had to turn back. As we got back into the village, these guys with guns, the rebel force came running at us with guns aimed at us and said, "Did you just come from that road?" We said, "Absolutely." And they said, "No, you didn't. You're lying." We're like, "No, we came from there. We're driving from this place to Bor, the town." And they said, "That's impossible." We're like, "Why is that?" They said, "Well, because yesterday we just put landmines all on that road." I'm sitting on a drum of petrol. Not good. I could give you story after story like that. My friends that we worked with in the mission field, the Haspels, this is a documented story on the internet. You can find it. They were taken hostage by a rebel force and they were being paraded around through the jungle, and the American government and the Sudanese government were trying to find this family. We were praying, we were there as well, but not in that town. And eventually the rebel force decided to let the women and the kids go free. This little plane flew in to rescue them from this airstrip. When they were taking off, because of the fact that they had this big issue against America, the rebel leader said, "Shoot the plane down." As it took off, the guy got the big, you know, M60 gun and shot into the plane. My friend, Dester Haspels, got violently ill in that moment, in an instant. In the back of the plane, she leant forward to vomit as the bullet ripped through right where she was seated. Just tore a big hole in the plane. Boom. God's hand is on your life. And God will supernaturally protect you. And I want to pray that. I pray that over my kids every single day. God, would you protect my kids? You know, we used to pray the prayers, you know, that, you know, the angels come on and when you speed, the angels lift off. I don't know whether, I've never read that. Maybe it's in Proverbs 33 or 32, but, you know, it's there somewhere. And that's a joke. Don't email me. I think for some of us, and let me finish with this. There's more to this, but we'll finish here. You know, for some of us, I just really sense that some of us are living our life on autopilot. Whatever happens, happens. And whatever comes your way, you just go, "Well, that's my portion in life." If it's sickness, I just accept it. If it's poverty, I just accept it. If it's this, I accept it. And I just want to encourage you today to turn the autopilot off, to get hold of your life, to get hold of the promises of God and start to declare them over your life. You don't have to live your life bound by the things that people and circumstance wants to dictate over you. You need to get a little bit more aggressive. My wife hates it when I say this, but I say, you know, you need to get a bit of a mongrel about you and just start to, as a Queensland thing, rise up and get over this stuff and take authority over your life and start to declare the promises of God. Your kids aren't going to end up the way that your parents were. Your marriage is going to flourish. Start to speak the promises of God over your life. Most of us don't do that because we don't know His promises. That's why you've got to consume that book. You've got to get it into you so that you know what to declare. Why don't we stand this morning? So I want you to pray over our family, over work, over church. God, you're my source of blessing. God, would you enlarge me? God's hand is on me. God will protect me and keep me from harm and from pain. You know that last word, pain? Do you know what the word for that is in the Hebrew? Jabez. And it's almost like, well, actually it's not almost like, it's exactly like Jabez is saying, listen, God, would you protect me and keep me from that place you took me from? That's what he's saying. I don't want to go back to where I used to be. I want to embrace your absolute perfect plan for my life in Jesus' name.